You're listening to Cradio.
Well, it's my pleasure to be joined by Most Reverend Bishop Porteous. We're here at the Australia Day Life and Family National Conference in Albury, Australia. Beautiful sunny day here, and we've just heard a talk about that Bishop's given about the spiritual roots of society and how important they are. So it's been said that many people today don't see the importance or perhaps the relevance of religious involvement in society. So perhaps, my Lord, you could explain a little bit, is the church still relevant in society today? And if so, why and perhaps how?
I certainly think the church, Christian churches, and religion in general have an important and vital contribution to make to societies. I've been very interested in some ideas put forward by an American academic who's been talking a lot about the idea of social capital. His name is Robert Putnam, and he was saying that one of the things that religion does is it holds a society together. It talks about the glue, the idea of religion being a glue in society. He said that when you have a focus on individualism, which is very much now a feature of Western society, that actually leads to a loss of what he calls social capital. That is, all those relationships, and particularly the spirit of generosity, of trust, of openness to other people, that actually helps to build the fabric, the social fabric of a society. And I think that's a very interesting aspect of this question, that yes, religion has a very important contribution to make on the level of its moral teaching and so on. But the other thing that religion does that people probably don't appreciate enough is that it makes a great and vital contribution to society. Religions, the Catholic Church, for instance, is at the forefront of providing so many services to the society. And society itself recognises that often religious organisations present their services with something extra to them that often secular services can't provide.
Yes, I believed you called it the X factor in
I
your
called
talk.
The X factor. I did. To say there is an X factor, you see, you can have an organisation in, say, in welfare or something like that is very, very much professional and effectively at a professional level, but often can become bureaucratic, become sort of a little bit cold, a little bit distant. When you have a Christian organisation, you have people motivated by the love of God, motivated That's by right. their faith in Jesus Christ. And they often bring a personal dimension. They often bring a compassion, a kindness, particularly that they take more interest, not just in the provision of services, but in the welfare of individuals. And I think this is that X factor that the church brings to society.
That little thing that people can't quite put their finger on, especially those in the secular world, but is evident in the amount of work and the effectiveness of the work that is done through especially the church agencies that have this X factor that we've spoken of.
Yes.
You mentioned in the talk too that, and I was quite surprised to hear this, that there are 19 public hospitals being run by the Catholic Church. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, the Catholic Church was really at the forefront of developing hospitals right back in history, when there were no social services, no government monies directed towards the provision of health services. The church was often at the forefront of providing hospices, places for the sick, and we've got a great tradition in that. And of course, in more recent times, in places like Australia in the 19th century, the church established many, many hospitals, and these hospitals were run by religious orders. And up till recent times, they were largely run by the religious without government assistance. But now, of course, with the complexity of healthcare, the government come in. But the point is that the church has been very active in providing so many hospitals across Australia, and some of the best and most highly recognised hospitals in Australia are Catholic hospitals, like St Vincent's in Sydney is a very good example. Now in Australia, the Catholic Church, we actually have 66 different Catholic hospitals, 19 of which are public hospitals. And that's a sign of an expression of the fact the Church has been at the forefront of the provision of health care in Australia.
That they've been asked to continue that even for the public system.
Yes, yes. The government and government authorities have realised that the churches are doing such an excellent job in this area. They want them to continue. Again, because they know that the hospitals are not only highly professional, but the levels of care and the dedication of the staff is such that they recognise there is something special, if you like, about what these hospitals are doing.
Would it be fair to say that there's that extra degree of integrity and perhaps commitment that these people might have to doing their job?
Exactly, exactly. And this is this question that the religious motivation behind the establishment of welfare, of hospital, of education, of international aid, all these sort of things, the religious factor brings something extra that really enhances quality of what's being offered.
Indeed, and I remember from your talk you spoke about the church being able to unite people in a cause in the way that environmentalism can't, and you gave a little anecdote about a small town. Perhaps you'd like to share that with the audience.
Yes, somebody just told me this. They were saying, some people were saying that, you know, a small town can survive the loss of a doctor, the loss of other key services, but if a church was to close down, something in the town really dies. Because the church, you know, particularly a small country town, is provides obviously the nourishment of faith, and that contributes to the well-being of the little town, but also it becomes a whole network, provides a whole network of relationships, and it religion basically draws people together. Mm-hmm. You know, people become united in a common faith. So religion, by its very nature, is a unifying force in society, and in that sense it's very good and healthy for a society.
And going back, as you did in the talk, to the root of the word religion, religare, meaning to bind and to hold together, that's shown as evident in what you've just shown us. And perhaps also going back to you speaking about the social adhesion and that, what did you say, how did you term it, the social capital, and having this social cohesion in society will definitely contribute to the stability of the society, having the family as the basic unit. Mm. So if we build up that family unit, would you agree that society would be much more stable and be more held together?
People have been exploring this question of social, what they're calling social capital, have done research in various things. And one of the things that they're finding is that where the social capital is strong, people are psychologically healthier, there's greater trust in the community and so on, that this is actually better for the community, or even for business, where people trust one another, business is able to be conducted more in a better way. So this is what religion, faith can do, and it does actually enhance the quality of life within a society.
So in a nutshell, society needs spiritual roots. Why?
Precisely because those spiritual roots, the faith that people have, is not only going to be important for the individuals themselves in terms of their own life, but also will be a means by which the society is able to be greatly enriched, because religion, talk about Christianity in particular, has a great tradition of reaching out to those in need. It's always done that. It will always continue to do that, because the love of Christ urges us on.
Indeed.
As St. Paul said, it's just what it means to be a Christian means that we end up giving of ourselves for the good of others, and that this is a great contribution that religion can continue to make to society. So societies really need to have a spiritual foundation. We really do need to have strong presence of religion in society for the good of the society.
Amen. Okay. And speaking about something slightly different, the importance of the language that we use when we're discussing various things. Could you perhaps please give a couple of examples of the language used in engaging with people, especially not from a Catholic or Christian background, on issues such as the phrase dying with dignity and my body, my choice, and things like that?
In these debates, one of the problems we've faced is that in order to make things that are morally imperfect, to say the least, to make them more palatable to the general public, they don't want to talk about euthanasia, but they want to talk about dying with dignity. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about the killing of the unborn, abortion. They never use the word abortion. They want to use words like pro-choice, you know,
Phrasing it in a positive light from their aspect of the argument.
Exactly.
And wanting perhaps for people that are in favour of life to be called anti-abortion as opposed to pro-life.
Yes.
Like the importance of language.
Language is very important. And when we're engaging in debate and discussion, and when we're trying to influence legislators and so forth, while our arguments and our understandings and so forth are all inspired by our Christian faith and our Christian understanding of the nature of human life, we can't use references to scripture or references to the teaching of the church or great theologians to sort of say these are our arguments because of these things, because these authorities are basically irrelevant to those that we're engaging with. So we need to engage in an argument that is logical, that is reasonable. We need to be able to present our case, if you like, in such a way that people can see that what we're saying is correct, not just because we believe it, but because it is in fact correct. So we do need to develop skill and we do need to develop a way of using language that can more greatly assist our cause in presenting what we believe to be important for the well-being of society.
For those of our listeners that are listening to this now thinking that they would like to be more effective in this area, are there particular resources or things that you would like them to avail themselves to, things that you'd recommend to help them to be stronger in this approach?
I think the first thing that we do need to do is to inform ourselves more fully on these subjects. It's one thing to have a conviction that abortion is wrong. It's another to understand the whole reason why people have abortions, for instance, the particular pressures that come to be applied to young women, for instance. We do need to understand more about the effects that abortion can have on the woman herself afterwards, the psychological effects it can have. Because these are the things that we need to understand more fully if we're going to be able to discuss it with other people. So I think what is important is to, and I would encourage people to learn more about these issues. And there's much literature around. There's literature written at a fairly popular level, explaining things simply and clearly. And of course, there's also more professional literature if somebody is in a professional situation, they're in the health area or something.
I believe that there's a book about to be launched by Bishop Anthony Fisher, Catholic Bioethics in the Third Millennium. Mm. So those of you that are listening who are interested in looking perhaps deeper at these Catholic bioethic issues such as organ donation and perhaps IVF and embryonic and adult stem cell cloning, those sorts of issues, I believe, will be covered.
It's a very good book, written right for our time and very clearly presenting the Church's teaching and exploring the issue at a moral level. So I very much recommend that book.
Great. Great recommendation for any of us out there wanting to learn a little bit more and also supporting one of our clergy. Mm. All right. Just lastly, why is it so important for us as Catholics, as Christians, as people in the church, as young people, to be a courageous voice? Why is it so important?
I think it's vital in our society at the present moment that we do speak up for the truth about human life. If we're silent, the other voices, which are so continuous and so strident, the organisations which are lobbying so powerfully and effectively, are going to win the day. And if they do, it will be to the detriment of society. It will be the detriment of the quality of life within Australia. And I fear that if we do not effectively voice our concerns about these issues, and these issues are carried, then as a nation we will be diminished. And so if there's no other reason than to speak up, it is to say, I'm concerned about the future of Australia. I love my country, and I really want my country to be a country that has a great understanding of the nature of human life, great respect for human dignity, a great desire to care for the disabled and needy. So we're a nation who are great in the way in which we look after the most vulnerable, the child in the womb, the elderly person close to death, the disabled, the sick. This shows a nation's ability to care for those in need is a sign of the moral quality of the nation.
And to hold that moral fabric together, we need to be rooted firmly in our faith.
Definitely.
And to also be able to share that with others, to be able to back up our beliefs with perhaps documents that people can read and various references not pertinent to the faith, so that someone from a natural law point of view can still see, as you said, that the argument is right and is rational, but not necessarily from a Christian or Catholic perspective, especially seeing as their hearts may be hardened and not want to listen to that at that moment. And also the culture of death, unfortunately, spreading across the whole world, this message applies also to the other countries where people are orphaned, abandoned, neglected. The way they treat their young and the elderly is certainly often a barometer of how the society is going.
It's very true.
Okay. Well, it's been my pleasure to have a few moments of the Most Reverend Bishop Porteous's time today in sunny Albury, Australia, for the Australia Day Life and Family National Conference. This has been Natasha D, signing off for Cradio. For more information, please go to cradio.org.au. May God bless you.